Hello and welcome to Sustain, the podcast where we talk about open source sustainability for the long haul. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? I'm very excited to talk to our guest today and someone else who's not me. I'm, of course, Richard Littauer. Hello, everyone. And my guest today is Adewale Abati, sometimes known as Ace. Ace, how are you doing today?
I'm very good, Richard. How are you?
I'm very good. Great to have you on. You're calling in today from Amsterdam, but you're also Nigerian and you're also a member of the open source community Africa. So you are a staff developer advocate at TBD. Tell me more about what that means for you.
TBD is next unit at Block, which is the parent company of Square, Cash App, and Co. And TBD, we are basically trying to build a decentralized future of the web, of the internet. And what I do there as a staff developer advocate is actually advocating for that technology and also, most especially, Web 5. And if you've never heard of that, that's also an interesting topic. It's an open protocol that we want to use, or want to introduce rather, to the entire world to see how we can introduce identity and data to the users for them to be in control of it. So users can be in control of their own identity across platforms and at the same time of your own data. So that's pretty much it.
So open protocol is slightly different than open source. Can you help me with the distinction?
It is open sourced, actually, but when I say open protocol, I mean people can build on top of it. It's a technology that's just available, an open source protocol, right? And everyone can contribute to it.
When I hear open source protocol and identity and global, a few bells start ringing in my ear. Is this related to the blockchain?
Not really, not necessarily. Let me clarify a little bit about that. So with Web5, we have three major pillars. One is a decentralized identifier, which is an open standard from W3C. We have verifiable credentials and decentralized web nodes. So the DIDs, which are already used by so many companies already, can be stored on the blockchain, but they don't necessarily have to work with the blockchain. It's a new way that we're trying to introduce decentralization on the web without necessarily involving the blockchain.
Decentralize all the things. Huge fan of that. I used to work with OrbitDB. I'm all about decentralizing identity and stuff. So that's really, really cool. Tell me how you ended up in Amsterdam.
Oh, yeah. I was working for a company called Code Sandbox, which is an online, you know, browser editor. Don't know if you ever heard of it. We do a lot of open work, actually, where we create templates, examples for open source project frameworks and try to get people to get started as quickly as possible on the web. From there, I actually moved to Amsterdam to explore the world. I also have like new experiences while I'm working for these companies. And so far, so good. It's my first day in Amsterdam and I've had a ton of experiences already. I love it.
Some of my favorite open source developers work in Amsterdam. Shout out to Worm, Titus, nice. And MDAS and Remark Fame. So I have a question for you around open source and Nigeria because you come from there. I've noticed that a lot of good open source coders end up leaving Nigeria and getting jobs elsewhere in, say, open source, which is really, really lucky for them and awesome. But do you feel that in order to have a sustainable career in open source, you kind of need to go where the markets are? Are you part of that story of the diaspora of open source developers?
Technically, since I no longer live in Nigeria, I might fall into that, but I don't think it's criteria in any way. Because a few years ago, I did start a project called the Made in Nigeria Open Source Repository, and all it did was collate, create as many amazing open source projects that were created by Nigerian developers, but for everyone around the world. So it's not necessarily, you don't have to be Nigerian to find purpose for it. So you've heard of projects like Chakra UI, these are projects that are built by Nigerians, right? So there are a ton of interesting ones there that were from developers that still lived in Nigeria. But I would also admit at the same time that there were developers that had moved out that were also still building stuff. So I think it's an overlap of both. People are able to build, you know, meaningful, impactful projects while still in Nigeria. And we also have a bunch of people that are part of the diaspora and are still also contributing to the community.
So this is a really awesome list, Made in Nigeria. It's on GitHub, almost has 1,000 stars. Hopefully we can push it over the edge. I just did a quick grep to see how many lines there were. And it looks like you have something like 250 different projects listed on this.
Pretty much.
What are your favorite that people don't know about?
That is a good question. One of the most recent additions is called Buzz, and it's from a guy called Chidi. It's a project that transcribes audio from your computer locally and, you know, creates the transcripts for you. And it's just amazing because it uses the OpenAI Whisper and it's very, 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 very interesting.
So you're obviously a full stack developer. You work as a staff developer advocate. You know a lot. Your chops are pretty intense, which is amazing. Not physical chops. He doesn't have chops. It's a beard. I mean, he has a beard. But anyway, moving on. You mentioned that you do YouTube and you play video games and make podcasts. Are you also, say, a presenter in the public sphere? How does that work?
I've tried to be a few times because I found that I am a little bit attracted to the media side of things, which is probably also why I'm a developer advocate, because you create content across media platforms. So I've done most of it as a hobby, and then some of it translated into my daily work where I'm making tutorial videos, educational materials. But in my own spare time, I'm running like video edits, trying to make some creative, crazy edits that look ridiculous. I'm still trying to learn those. And on YouTube, I just show some of the tech stuff I'm messing around with, talk about my career journeys, and just share experiences sometimes.
I love that. That's really cool. So at OSCA, generally, there's also a sustained track where they talk about open source sustainability. One of the topics at the sustained track at OSCA has often been maintainer burnout. I have a question for you because you're a staff developer advocate and because you create a lot of content. Do you find that people in the open source sphere who are creative, who are being very productive, making a lot of cool videos and art and like that, do you find that they burn out faster because they feel like they have to keep putting out new content over and over, as opposed to people who are just in the background coding away, having a good time, not being productive?
Definitely. I think it happens a lot. It also depends on just the level of intensity for the project maintainers. There are projects that have a smaller audience, so you don't have like a lot of requests. You don't have to, you know, push out something new every other time. But I think the dream of most, you know, project maintainers, especially when you build something that's very interesting, is to find as many people using it as possible, because that kind of affirms, yes, this is amazing. And the pressure to create more, to, you know, stay up to date, to produce content sometimes, is always there. And you might start out excited, but then eventually you start to feel the demand like, hey, I haven't done this in a minute, or hey, I've been doing this for so long. Because at the end of the day, we are not machines, right? We are still human. We want to mix things up mentally. The demand comes from the outside, right? So right now, I'm working on my personal Instagram. I'm trying to document some video edits. And I decided, just to be able to get into rhythm, to make a video every day in December. And I'm already tired, right? 21st at the time of this recording, and I'm exhausted already. I cannot wait for the end of the month. Once that happens, I'm never going to be one to post every day anymore. But it was a process that got me more familiar with my routine. I wanted to make videos. And going after this, I would probably focus more on the quality over the quantity. But because I've been able to just identify different ways to record and make stuff over this, you know, couple of days, I just have like things in my head. So as creators, as maintainers, it definitely sets in when you feel that pressure, like, hey, I have to keep doing this. People are demanding or waiting on me to make this change. I think it sets in. But some people have been able to find the balance. And one of the best things I personally did for my project, my open source project, was because it was a project that was very focused on community, I got requests from people that wanted to collaborate, people that wanted to contribute. And they kind of just eased the burden on me, right? Because there are people that were checking pull requests, they were checking issues, making issues, sending in PRs. There's a current website for the Made in Nigeria project, and I didn't build that at all. Someone else entirely came in and built out that project because they loved what was happening. Although right now I'm working on the V2 by myself and a colleague, just, you know, create more. I think I'm going to talk about that later in this chat, but we're trying to create a new experience for the project, and working on that on my own is still, it's a bit tough because I have a day job. But back in the day, someone just came in, you know, sent in a PR, hey, I built a website for this. I think it's amazing. And I was like, yeah, it looks really good. And that's the current website to this point, over 4 years.
So Tim Ferriss has a podcast, which you may have heard of, one of the most successful podcasts in the world, the Tim Ferriss Project or podcast, I think, where he talks about this one YouTube video by this designer in Australia who drew an ibis every day for like a year. And he describes this being incredibly exhausting, but also formative. Because if you draw the same thing every day, eventually you learn how to do things differently. You focus on the new ways and your skill improves vastly. Now, a lot of developers start out with the idea of like GitHub streaks, right? Let's code every day for a year. Let's do 24 pull requests during the advent time. It's not uncommon to have these daily challenges, which inevitably lead to, ugh, I just can't do this anymore. My question for you is, I'm curious, do you feel like some of the tips and skills that you learned in this month are useful going forward? And do you think you're going to do it again maybe next December? Not every month, but you think that you'll see yourself using it as a tool to like up level really quickly?
I might never do it again for video making, like video editing and stuff. But the main purpose, I think what would be the difference is kind of focusing on the end goal. So why am I doing this every day? Am I doing this every day just for the sake of having the streak? But I think I started doing it every day because I wanted to build up repetition. And if I took a longer time to do that repetition, that means I'm taking a longer time to get more familiar with my tools. So the process of creating as often as possible makes me more familiar quicker. But my end goal was, hey, once I learn all of these things, then I can take my time to do the main things I want to do because I've acquired the skills. But I was able to repeat so many times over the short period of time. And that comes in handy. So I don't think it's something I would want to do again for the same project, for example. But if there's something else I want to learn, there's a possibility I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to pick up this book every day for a week, maybe. I just try to get into that zone because I think as humans, we are kind of a creature of habits once we're able to form it. And for you to be able to form a habit, you need repetition. And I think they say it in like for the career, you need like 10,000 hours put into your work to be able to get to that point, right? So I think you need to put in that work as often as possible to get to that zone where, okay, this is how you want to do stuff in a unique way. There are a ton of people that choose to like take their time, right? Where you just spend time, no matter how long it takes you to get it very right. And there are some people that just learn from doing, like do it as much as often as you can. And then it becomes like a part of you. So I think it's important to identify which one works for you. And then you go that route.
Well, don't worry. We can take the video recording that we're making on the Zoom call and actually just have that be the video for today. So I'll send you a link. So you're done for today. You can move on.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Tell me about this new project that you said you were working on.
Oh, yeah. I said we're creating a new version of the Made in Nigeria project website. And let me just paint a picture for you. The first version we had was highlighting this project. And that kind of checks a mark, which is this project exists. There are people in Nigeria that are creating open source projects that can be used by anybody from anywhere in the world. That checkmark exists. This is a valid thing. So the point we want to get to now is, who are these people? So there are developers that are creating these things. There are people that have submitted multiple open source projects. They do like every other month. They're creating projects back to back to back. And there are people that create very difficult, so they solve very difficult problems. And we want to be able to share these stories to other people, not just other Nigerian developers, but to the world. So the next version is being able to, you know, improve the user experience of the website, but at the same time, focus on the storytelling behind the people that are building this project. So if you go to a project as an Nigerian developer, for example, I mean, I remember the first time I heard about open source, I had no idea what it was. If you start hearing about open source and you start finding out that there are Nigerian developers that do this, you start growing an interest in how did they come about this? How were they able to build this many projects? So I want to create a platform as well that highlights this story, that can give you inspiration, show you their path, show you that sometimes this takes a long time to get to this point. And then you kind of find that impact on yourself and you could decide to go into open source or go a different route. But you have an insight into people's lives and stories that you probably normally wouldn't. So that's the new version we're trying to build out. And it's going well so far, all things considered. And I hope to get it out in a few weeks as much as possible.
Where will people be able to find that?
Yeah, so that would be at madeinnigeria.dev. There's currently a website there, but it's quite basic. Just kind of shows you the projects you're able to search. But just once we push the new update, it's going to be a more immersive experience that you can just navigate through and read people's stories and learn more about them.
So that might be up by the time this podcast is out. So go to madeinnigeria.dev to check it out. Adewale, do let me know when you have it and we can post it on LinkedIn and the like and share it widely. Speaking of share it widely, we are running up on time. So thank you so much for joining and talking today about your views on open source and building and learning. It's awesome. Where can people learn more about your work and where can people watch all your cool videos?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So my username is Acekyd, which is A-C-E-K-Y-D. And I try to replicate this across platforms. So on YouTube, on Twitter, ACE_KYD, and also on Instagram, Illusions by Ace, because I'm just playing around with video edit, right? So I call it Illusions. But once you can follow me on Twitter and YouTube, those are like places I share some of my experiences the most. And if you want to find out about the fun side of me, I stream video games on Twitch, which is Acekyd TV. I do love media stuff sometimes. But yeah, that's pretty much me. I'm either talking about the web, Web5, open source, or just, you know, bouncing around with the community.
Amazing. Thank you so much. You can find those in the show notes. Go to podcastoss.org and look for Adewale Abate. Adewale, Ace, great having you on today. Thank you so much. Good luck with the website and take care.
Thank you. Have a good one.